God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message this morning is based off the gospel reading as we hear about the birth of Jesus from the gospel writer of St. Matthew. And sort of to begin with, the cover of today's bulletin sort of depicts the scene well. You have Joseph holding the baby Jesus, Mary sort of resting, probably just exhausted after giving birth, and the shepherds in the distance. Today, we're actually going to focus a little bit upon Joseph. And some people will refer to Joseph as Saint Joseph, which is very appropriate. Because of his faith and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is sainted. He is with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. That same Lord and Savior that he helped take care of. He helped change the diapers of. He was the faithful dad, so to speak, helping taking care of Jesus, because as he was true man and true God, taking on that true humanity, he needed parents. He needed someone to take care of him until he was old enough to do sort of things himself. This was God's plan of salvation. But before we go into too much into that, we sort of have to back up a little bit. You see, it wasn't always Saint Joseph. There was a time in which Joseph was sort of pushing away from God. Where we're coming from within our text is what happened when Joseph heard the news that Mary was pregnant. He knew he wasn't the father. All of a sudden, something from within him was now pushing away. You could call that a little bit maybe in the essence of being judgmental, maybe self-righteous. Basically, he had already made that sort of that covenant agreement with Mary. By the eyes of all, they were already considered married. So what had changed? One fact, she's now pregnant. But then there was a little bit of a change in attitude of the heart. Did he not still love her? Did he not still have forgiveness for her? Well, apparently not. Because as scripture reminds us that he was resolved to divorce her quietly. You see, he had three options before him at this point. He could have just still said, okay, Mary, you know, I really love you. I forgive you. I don't know what's going on, but that's okay. You're still my wife. Let's just continue on. Or he could have divorced her publicly, which would have been, Mary would have been stoned. Or, as scripture reminds us, he decided to divorce her privately, where he would just basically just back away from the situation, sort of wash his hands and saying, okay, Mary, this is not my doing. I'm sort of relieving myself of any responsibility, any accountability here. I'm just going to back away because this wasn't my plan. This wasn't my way of doing things. This isn't the right way of doing things. You know, those of us who are followers of God, we just don't do things like this. His self-righteous attitude was beginning to take place here. But not for long, fortunately. The Lord intervenes and sort of melts his heart with a message from the angel. Joseph, son of David, do not fear. And that's a very important concept. What was driving his self-righteousness? What was driving him pushing away from God's grace? Basically, his own fear was driving him. So Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Isn't it interesting now at this point, now that he has sort of heard that word of God, his heart melts. He now does follow that word of God, takes Mary home, and cares for his own Savior. Isn't that strange? The one who's going to deliver him from sin, death, and the devil, the one who's going to make him a saint, so to speak, the one who's going to open up heaven's gates so that he can be with God in heaven above, he now has to take care of. God has a very interesting sense of humor, especially since this is the same man who just got through pushing away the Savior, pushing away a woman who he loved. All because there was something he didn't understand. Something that just didn't sit right with him. Unfortunately, in our lives, I can make, unfortunately, too many great parallels here. How many times in our lives have we pushed away other people because of certain facts? Whether it be that they're pregnant, and we weren't expecting them to be pregnant. Whether it be that they just look differently, they act differently. Whether it be that they just make a different amount of money than we do. Do we ever push them away and put them down and say, you know, I'm better than that. I don't need to be in a relationship with you. I don't need to give you love. I don't need to give you forgiveness. We do that quite often in our lives. Let me give you some test questions. Is there ever a job that you would never do? Would you ever say, well, that job is too beneath me. Let someone else do it. Then you may fall in this self-righteous category. Do you ever belittle somebody for making less money? Do you ever think about those minimum wage workers that they're not worth very much, but yet they're working hard? Do you ever withhold forgiveness from somebody? Do you ever sit there and say, until I am satisfied, then I will forgive you and release your sin from you? In our personal interactions, we like to hold grudges. Why do we do these things? Part of it is a little bit of that fear that the angel spoke about to Joseph. But part of it is also that hard heart. That self-righteous attitude that we as Christians have. Why do we have it? We have the same human nature that Joseph had. We push away from things we don't understand, that don't fit right in our world, like the whole world revolves around us. We, like Joseph, when we are pushing away, have to realize that that same pushing away, that same hardening of our heart, will eventually even push away our Lord and Savior, just like Joseph tried to do before the Lord intervened. Let's put it this way. The more that we withhold forgiveness, the more that we withhold our love, the more that we are judgmental and raise ourselves up and put other people down, the more we are actually pushing away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves all people. He took on flesh and blood, not for the elite, but for all people. The people who would do jobs that you don't do, the people who make less money, the people who speak different languages, have different cultures and different customs, the answer is yes. Christ came into this world to suffer and die for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole entire world, not just a select group. And Christ calls us to love all people, regardless of who they are. Not to love only a select few, but to love all people. So we, like Joseph, we also have pushed our Savior away from us. Now let's hear the good news. Because we, like Joseph, have also heard God's calling. We also need a Savior, and God has answered that request. He brought His Son Jesus into this world, as the cover of our bulletin depicts. And Joseph, taking up that level of accountability, says, okay, I will take care of this child who's not biologically mine, but it's the Lord's will. He gets past the hardness of his heart to love a child that is not his own, to take care of a child that is not his own, to take care of his own Savior. His heart is softened by God's word and in turn is able to embrace Mary, have that relationship, take care of her also. Likewise, when the Holy Spirit works his word within us, He softens our hearts so that we are no longer pushing away from our Savior, but reflecting his love and his forgiveness. We need that baby being born in Bethlehem. We need that Savior because naturally our hearts are hardened. We need someone to come along and to soften them. In one essence, to help teach us what love is all about. Help teach us about what forgiveness is all about. We also need that baby Jesus being born in a manger. And that's what Advent is all about. Advent is a time of preparation. A time when we look into our hearts and we see where we're really at. Yeah, there's still the Spirit within us. But then there's still that cold, callous side of ourselves. If you think it's cold and windy outside, take a look at your heart. How many times in our heart does that callousness come up? Where we start pushing other people away? Yes, we need that Savior. We need that Savior to melt and to warm our hearts so that God's love will flow through us, that His forgiveness will flow through us to other people. We say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Why does God put the stipulation in there? To remind us that we need soft hearts, not hard hearts. To remind us that the more we love and forgive other people, the more we're in relationship with this baby Jesus. The more we push away other people, we're actually pushing away Christ. Our hearts start hardening. Advent is that time of preparation because it's that season right before Christmas, right before we celebrate the Feast of the Nativity. It's a time we need to realize that we also, like Joseph, need this baby. We need this Savior of the world. We may think we don't, but we really do. The time of Advent's preparation is focusing on oneself, realizing not our own self-righteousness, but to realize that we're not saints by ourselves. We are sinners. So we need this baby. We need the sinlessness that this baby brings into this world of ours so that he can give us his sinlessness, so that he can make us righteous, that he can make us saints, so that he can bring us to be with him in heaven above. All this comes from a cute, adorable baby who, at the time that Jesus was born, really needed Mary and Joseph to take care of him. And they did. So we end our season of Advent very shortly. And we make this transition into a very celebratory type season that, yes, God has answered our requests. He did deliver his son, Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins. And so whenever our hardened hearts come up again, we just need to look to the manger. We need to look to where God answers, where God forgives, where God enlightens, where God's sends his son to soften our hearts so that, like Joseph, we also will be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven above. So this day we come and we gather to hear God's word. We thank him for this wonderful gift and we ask him to soften our hearts so that the joyful celebration of Christmas will be fully realized. And we begin that celebration tomorrow with the eve of the Feast of the Nativity in his name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.